I'm excited. I hope you're excited to be here. Let me start by just saying happy Easter, happy Resurrection Sunday. Welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike, and I'm glad that you chose to join us today. We have many new faces. Some are family, some are first-time visitors. We decided as a church that we wanted to invite people to church because, well, one, we think it's important to be in church. Two, it's Easter. What a time to come together and worship our risen Savior. And so you may have received this week an invitation card to come to service. And if you came because of that, I say thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for taking your time to join us. Today we wrap up our Easter sermon series, and it's in celebration of our risen Savior. And the series is The Journey to the Empty Tomb. Now, if you haven't been here over the last several weeks, no problem, because every sermon is designed to be stand on its own, but it's part of this bigger series. So you won't be missing any context. And today, I have titled the sermon, and I think rightly so, Victory in Death. There is victory in death, and we have our victory in the death of Jesus, in his resurrection and death. So today, we celebrate our Jesus, our resurrected Lord and Savior. Death is defeated, the grave has been overcome, relationship between man and God has been restored, and our sins, our debt, our sin has been paid for completely. That's worthy of celebrating. Jesus' victory over death gives us hope. Let me invite you to open your Bible this morning, and I hope you have one or someone next to you has one that you can look on with. And if you don't, no worries, I'll have it on the screen here. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. And I will have it on the overhead. I read from the English Standard Version. Your version may be different. If it is, again, it'll be on the overhead. Hopefully it's big enough that everyone can read it. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths laying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead." Jesus is risen from the dead this morning, church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for discovering that the tomb is empty, that everything that Jesus told us was real and true, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is your Son, and he is the sacrifice for our sins. Father, we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I like to do little side notes here, and as I was rereading through this today, in my humorous nature, I found this funny. So who wrote the book of John? John. Who was the disciple that Jesus loved? John. Listen, if you go back to verse 3, to whom Jesus loved, John wrote, "Jesus loves me." Then he said, "I also outran Peter," and it's going to be recorded forever in history. That's a side note. That has nothing to do with today's sermon. I don't know, when you look at verse 4, I don't know what context it brings to Scripture. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I think John's just bragging at this point, and they're having a good time, and I say that's okay. Listen, Jesus' victory over death gives us hope. It is the very fact that he rose from the dead that we can have hope in who he is, what he said he was going to do, and what he's soon to do again. Jesus rising from the dead and coming out of the tomb, it's pivotal and it's essential for the Christian faith. Our faith does not stand if this did not take place. Jesus told us that he would rise from the dead. He says it several times. And when he rose from the dead, here's what he did. He defeated death. Once and for all, he defeated the grip of sin and death over us. And it's where we find victory in death. It is in his death that we find our victory. It's where we find life. And it's worthy of celebrating all these years later. In fact, I would argue it's worthy of celebrating every day that we have breath in our lungs. I want to share a story with you this morning about a man named Louis Delcourt. Does anyone know Louis Delcourt? No, because he was in 1937, so I doubt anybody knows him. A man who was alive but lived as if he were dead. This is taken from the Living Church Convictions of a Lifelong Pastor by John R.W. Stott. And here's what he says. Here's the story. This is this difference between possession and enjoyment is well illustrated in the story of Louis Delcourt. He was a young French soldier during the First World War who overstayed his leave, and fearing disgrace, he decided to desert. So, I'm deserting the army. I'm running away. He persuaded his mother to lock him up in the attic of their home where she hid him and fed him for 21 years while he hid. Any mothers love your child that much to hide him in the attic and feed him every day for 21 years? I don't see a single hand up. But in August 1937, his mother passed. And there was no chance now of his retaining his incognito and remaining in hiding. He could not continue to live the way that he was. So pale and haggard, he staggered along to the nearest police officer where he gave himself up. The police officer looked at him in utter disbelief and asked him, "Where have you been that you have not heard?" Church, I ask you, where have you been that you have not heard? "Haven't heard what?" asked Lewis. "That a law of amnesty for all deserters was passed years ago." We have that same amnesty today through Christ Jesus for our sins. He pays for them. Amnesty. Louis Delcourt had freedom, but he did not enjoy it because he did not know that he had it. I'm here to tell you this morning, you have access to the biggest freedom known to mankind, and that's through a relationship with Christ Jesus. It's the same with Christian people today. They have been set free by Jesus Christ, but they are not enjoying their freedom because they do not know that they have access to it. Louis Delcourt lived in an attic for 21 years. What's your attic look like at home? Don't tell me, just think about what you're at. Can you imagine living up there for 21 years? Dark, really hot on hot days, really cold on cold days, maybe bats in the attic, maybe mice. As far as we know, no plumbing whatsoever. It sounds like a wonderful life, doesn't it? Listen, we can have a great life when we come to the feet of Jesus, the foot of the cross. Can you imagine living a life like that? Living a life, but not actually living. Can you imagine going through life, hiding yourself? While technically, yes, I have freedom because I'm not in jail for deserting, but am I really living life? What happens in 21 years of your life? A lot can happen, right? Think about 0 to 21 and then think about 21 to whatever your age is today. Maybe you can't add another 21 to it. Maybe you can. But how much has life transformed in 2 decades? So for you young ones in here, phones did not used to look like this. They were flip phones. And before that, you had a bag. And then before that, they were on a cord. And if you were fancy, you had the push button. And if you weren't fancy, you had the old dial tone where it took you 10 minutes to dial the phone number. Everybody knows. Everybody knows besides the young ones in here, right? So life changes a lot in 21 years. And so that's not really living. And so my question is today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, what are you doing? What's happening in your life separate from Christ? How can you enjoy freedom without Christ? How can you enjoy victory over death without Christ? And the answer is you can't. It doesn't happen. If you ask most people, especially those without a relationship with Jesus, what's your biggest fear in life? Do you know what the most common answer is? Dying. Death. I'm scared of death. Why is that? And it's simply this. Because a non-believer doesn't have the hope and promise of life after death. They don't know what is to come after death because they don't hold the same victory in death that Jesus granted us. You could say that they are alive, but they're living as though they are dead. The best way that I can illustrate this for you this morning is to say being bedside of someone who is not a believer versus someone who is a believer. If you've ever been bedside to that, you know what I'm talking about. One has great peace and one has great turmoil because they don't know what's coming. For us, we have hope in knowing that death isn't the end. Rather, it's the very beginning. It's the beginning of the next 21 years of our life and again and again. I need you to hear this morning. This is a truth that you can hang on to. As Christians, as believers, we do not have to fear death. Why? Because a life in Jesus means that death isn't our final destination. Our final destination is to be in heaven with Him, worshiping Him. We have great hope in knowing that death is not the end. Because of the empty tomb, Jesus rising from the dead, we gain that hope. And we can live boldly. So not only are we living a life where we're alive and we're well and we're in relationship with Jesus, not only can we have that assurance that we are guaranteed eternal life with Jesus, we can actually live a bold life because of Jesus. We can live our faith boldly. For my folks that are regulars here, when you handed out cards this week, I heard so many stories of handing out these cards the last 2 weeks and the conversations had, and how much easier that card made those conversations happen. Guess what? You lived boldly the last 2 weeks. You're doing exactly what the gospel message tells us to do, is to go and make disciples, to get people, invite them to come to church. Because what is God's heart? God's heart is that no one should perish. So if we're not willing to share that message, we're allowing the unbelievers, that those who haven't heard the gospel, to live as though they are dead. When in fact, Jesus wants us to live a bold, abundant life. We can be in agreement with Paul in 1 Corinthians. It says this, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death, where is your sting? Death lost. Final. 0-1. Death lost when the grave couldn't hold Jesus. Sin has no power over us any longer. Simply because our sin has been paid for and we're not meant to stay a sin to slave. Because we have victory over death. We have victory over our temptations. We have victory over our lifestyle choices. We have victory over addictions. We're freed from all of it. If you're living with those, listen, If you're living with sin in your life, if you're living with lifestyle choices that are putting you at odds with God, if you're maybe you struggle with alcohol, nicotine, maybe it's a whole host of other things that you're addicted to that are causing a separation between you and the Lord, You are not meant to live like that because Jesus paid for it all. He freed you from it, and you have victory over it. If you're living with those, if they're still controlling your life, you're living as if you are dead. You are not living as if you are alive. Whereas, because Jesus did indeed rise from the dead, we have historical records that prove it beyond just the Bible. We have eyewitnesses. There's all kinds of things that point to the resurrection of Jesus. Because he did rise from the dead, and why we call this Resurrection Sunday, because he rose from the dead, we can live a full, free, victorious, fruitful life in him. While our bodies might die, now let's not pretend that we get old. Anybody old? No, don't raise your hand. We all get old. Our bodies are going to waste away, and at some point they will bury us into the ground because our bodies are no more. We know that our bodies will die, but here's what doesn't die: our soul. Our choices here today impact our soul. We can either be alive or we can be dead. Believers have the hope and promise of eternity with Jesus. And I want everybody in here today to be able to say, I share in that same hope. I want that same hope in my life. Paul knows that when death comes, life in eternity begins. And it's evident from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. And it says, yes, we are of good courage. Now listen, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. To be absent from our body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus' victory over death gives us great hope this morning. Now, I want you to imagine with me, if you will. Hang tight here for a minute, Stacy. I'm sorry. See, this is, just so y'all know, not everything goes wonderful every Sunday. Sometimes we forget to communicate about key things, and then we have these weird things like this where I'm telling Stacy to hang tight because otherwise she'd be up here playing, thinking we're ending, when in fact we have just a couple more minutes. And so, just side note, it is what it is. Can you imagine the thief on the cross? Okay, so Jesus on the cross, the two thieves on both sides of Jesus, right? Condemned to death for being what? A thief, right? The thief on the cross. Someone who didn't know Jesus. As Jesus himself is being crucified, this thief meets him. Well, actually, two thieves meet him, right? There's a thief on each side of him. One accepts Jesus, and one rejects and mocks him. The one who believed him, Jesus said this to. This is in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, being Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him. The other thief rebuked the first thief, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man," referring to Jesus, "has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Here's what Jesus said to him. And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus told the thief that today, when your body dies, when your body fails, you will be with me in heaven. Instant. Not wait 20 years because it took you 20 years to say yes to me. Instant. The believing thief received eternal hope right before his death. He received the promise of being with Jesus before he died. He no longer had to fear death. The way that Jesus freed the thief on the cross, listen, he frees us today. He gives us that same freedom today. When we believe in him, we gain the same promise of paradise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Because he paid the price and he holds the victory over death. Those who believe do not experience spiritual death but experience everlasting, eternal life with Jesus Christ as King of Kings. Stacy, if you want, come on up. John chapter 5, I have a few verses for you. John chapter 5, verse 24, it says this, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. John chapter 8, verse 51, I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. We can all receive the same eternal hope as the thief did. It's very simple. We can go from being alive but not living to alive and boldly living and proclaiming Jesus through the acceptance of what he did for us on the cross and overcoming and opening the door and walking out of the tomb because he's risen. We can live in that same hope. Eternal hope, victory in death, our sins forgiven is what we hope and pray for in our community. We have this thing every Sunday. We say engaging our community for Jesus. We are a church that wants to engage the community of New Sharon for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Don't raise your hand, but I want everybody to ask yourself, do you know someone who needs a relationship with Jesus? Do you have a neighbor, a family member, a friend, a this, a that, or whoever that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? This is why we believe in engaging our community for Jesus. I hope and pray for a day when we see the whole community of Jesus being utter, amazing submission to Jesus as Lord and Savior, that all would be unified in one body. I don't care what church you go to. I told the pastors of the Ministerial Alliance that I don't care what church somebody ends up in. Here's what I care about. Are they right with Jesus? Because if they're not right with Jesus, what are we doing? Why do we have lights on stage? Why do we open our doors? If we don't preach the gospel message, what are we doing? We're missing the point, right? If we're not doing that. So this morning, I want everybody to have this opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Because Jesus' victory over death gives us hope. Could anybody use a dose of hope this morning? If you guys would, I'd just ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes, pay attention to yourself, don't look around at anybody else. I want everyone to be comfortable. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, that's what Jesus offers from the work on the cross. He did all of this for each and every one of us here this morning. He did it hoping that you would one day say yes to him. He had no guarantee because we have free will. You can say no to Jesus. But as a goodwill gesture, he went ahead and he covered your sin. He paid for your sin. In hopes that you would one day say, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior in my life. I need the forgiveness of my sins. So if you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, if you've never said, hey, I want to be in a relationship with you, if you've never looked to him as Savior and Lord of your life, maybe you look to him as Savior but not as Lord, meaning I'll accept his forgiveness but I don't want to live for him. Today, on Resurrection Sunday, you have the opportunity to say yes to Lord Jesus. Maybe you did it years ago, but choices, sins, addictions, life, maybe life just got in the way and you found yourself back to where you started, all over again without that hope. Today, you can ask for a fresh hope, you can ask for forgiveness, and you can share in the victory over death. The tomb does not get to keep you anymore. So if that's you this morning, would you please just raise your hand, put it back down, let me see it. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Church, would you join with me and repeat after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for the empty tomb. Thank you for dying for my sins. I believe that you died and you rose again. I commit myself to you from this day forward. Change me. Help me to live for you daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I just want you to know that three people raised their hands to say, I want to give my life to Lord Jesus this morning. And you got to know that right now in heaven, there's a band of angels that are celebrating your name being written in permanent marker in the book of life. Your name can't be snatched, it can't be grabbed, it can't be stolen. You are now out of the grave and eternal hope with Lord Jesus. So for those of you who raised your hand, congratulations. There's next steps. Tell somebody. Tell somebody that you made that decision for Him today. If you don't have a Bible and you want one, see me. Laverne, raise your hand. Arvin, raise your hand. Tim, raise your hand. See one of our three board members. If you don't have a Bible, we'll get one put in your hand. This is the very beginning of your new life. You can now live a bold life, not live a life, but be dead. And as we close this morning, as worship team gets ready to lead us in a song, here's what I want to do. Because it's Easter Sunday, our Savior is risen from the dead. I encourage you to praise God. I encourage you to raise your voice. Act as if Jesus is right here in front of you. I don't think we're all just going to stand like this and we might hit our knees. We might run and embrace Him. But I imagine we would all probably be overcome. So this morning as they close, I encourage you to worship God. If you want to come to the front, up here to the steps and worship, please do. But I encourage you to worship, to praise, and seek God. Because we have no life, we have no hope, no promise, without Him fulfilling His promise. And guess what the good news is? He did. He did overcome. He did fulfill His promise. Church, Jesus' victory over death gives us hope.